to me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want to preach in your hearing today. With Jesus, you do not have to fear death because he has power over death. Part 1. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 657, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1022, since January the 1st, 2016. And I am glad to announce, God put it on my heart yesterday, I believe, as I was lying down on the bed, that this is my 40th year of preaching the gospel, December the 19th, 1979, and I want to invite you all to pray for me. All of my dear friends across the country and around the globe, pray for me to have my best year yet, preaching the most times the gospel, seeing the most people saved, and making it to the 40th anniversary, December the 19th, 1979, when God started it all. I was not looking for God, but God was looking for me, and I want to remind you that God's looking for you. He is calling you, and when you hear the gospel, respond. And we have so much more to share about that as time goes on. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. Please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible reads, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood," she was hemorrhaging, as they call it, 12 years, just bleeding, "came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. According to the law, she was unclean. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter," he called her daughter. No doubt she had, if she had faith to touch the hem of his garment, somebody called it the fringe of his garment, surely she had saving faith. So Jesus called her daughter, "Be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. And by the way, there's nothing like being made whole. Nothing in the world. The feeling of being made whole is a beautiful thing in itself. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, who was hurting because his daughter was dead, and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, if you want to get a picture of the minstrels in your mind, think about a New Orleans funeral, where people, they get their music together and they start playing sad songs for the mourning family. and they were making a noise, just like the New Orleans funeral, but far more serious, I would imagine. He said unto them, give place, make way, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Someone said it was very interesting that this woman had an issue of blood for 12 years, and another gospel says this maid, this girl, was 12 years old. And they laughed him, they laughed Jesus to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Holy Father God, we say with Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, it is good for us to be here. It is good for us to pause with all of our busyness and everything else we got going on in this world. And some are busy with religious work, but they hardly pause to pray to you and worship you. And so, Lord, we say with Peter, it is good for us to be here. For, Lord, we know that we are here with you because you said where two or three are gathered together, you are in the midst. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And like this, dear Father, we worship you. We individually confess our sins, failures, and faults, and help every saved person, and every saved person will do it. That is, confess their sins and repent and get their hearts right. Lost people will not do it. And so, Lord, save those who are lost by your grace. Open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls. For those of us who are saved, crucify our flesh and the old man within us. Fill us with the fullness, the anointing, the fire, the power, the unction from on high of your Holy Spirit. For Lord, without the power of your Holy Spirit, the freedom and the liberty of your Holy Spirit, nothing will be done here worthwhile. We pray and we thank you for your holy word that reminds us it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Have nobody here to quench the Spirit with their bad attitude, their rebelliousness, their not wanting to see your work advance. Holy Father God, based upon your holy word, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Please rebuke and bind every devil working in here and every devil working out there against us. For Lord, whenever someone preaches the gospel on a daily basis, the devil throws everything he has against that person. So cover us in the precious blood of Christ. Cleanse us through the precious blood of Christ. Surround us with a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire. Place, Lord, upon us the whole arm of God and give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Cast out every demonic spirit, every Judas spirit, every Sanballat spirit, people who are here to just hinder and try to keep us back from building the wall. And Lord, we pray for over 3 million souls to be saved, 3 million Christians to be revived, in your holy name glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. God bless you real good. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I thank God for all of my friends on Periscope, Facebook Live, and all of the other platforms, Spreaker, and Facebook itself, and on. I'm told that we have 16 platforms that go live out of here. hello to our friends on Go to Church Online, GLBN-TV. And we thank God for each and every one of you. You know I don't beg you to do anything. I don't ask you to do anything, but you have chosen to do everything, and you have been a blessing. The only thing I ask you to do is pray for me while I'm preaching. Pray for me while I'm preaching. Pray for the lost sinners who are gathering around various devices around the world, that they will hear the gospel and be saved, that they will get to know Jesus as I introduce them to Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Clark said, to be successful in our applications to God, four things are requisite. And this ruler teaches us what they are. First, a man should place himself in the presence of God, and I think somebody ought to say amen right there. You need to go where God is and place yourself at the throne of grace. Second, he should humble himself sincerely before God. Do not come with a whole bunch of questions. I'm a little bit leery of people who talk about, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this and that. I'm not going to ask God anything. I'm just going to be thankful. For about the first 10 million years, I'm just going to be thankful. Be humble when you come before God. Stop being arrogant. Being proud. Pride is still the number one sin. It is the sin of the devil. And people are losing their lives because of pride. People are getting kicked out of college because of pride. People are losing their shirts and their houses because of pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, arrogancy. Humble yourself. Find God. Do what God tells you to do. Humble yourself. You will never be happy until you follow God. You find God and follow Him and His will for your life. You'll never be happy. You'll never be happy until you're humble before the Lord, pliable before the Lord, where He can lead you and guide you in the way that He wants you to go. Do you want it to be well with you? Find God. Humble yourself before God. Do what God tells you to do, my dear friend, and things will be well with you. Third, he should lay open his wants, his needs, with a holy earnestness, because you're talking to somebody who can really get it done. Amen, somebody. Oh, yeah, some of you are miserable right now because you don't do what this man is talking about. You're not earnest about what you need and the good things that you desire. God can do it for you. Fourth, he should have unbounded faith and confidence in the power and goodness of Christ, that his request shall be granted. I like that. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in this passage we have one account of Jesus' healing ministry interrupted by another. And this is how it is in the real ministry. When you're going to help somebody else, there's somebody over here needing some help as well. In fact, if you really go out and witness for the Lord as you should and minister as you should, the ministry will never end. There's so many needs. The greatest need is that people need Christ. And once you get on the bandwagon, if you will, if you get on the ball with soul winning, that ball will keep on rolling and rolling and rolling. Because the fields are white on the harvest, but the laborers are few, Jesus said. So, ladies and gentlemen, these events begin at the dinner that Jesus was attending with his disciples. While Jesus was still speaking with John's disciples at that dinner with the publicans and the sinners, see, things were ramping up. Things were very exciting. Things were on the move. There came a certain ruler and worshiped him. He was a serious-minded man. He was not playing. For you see, when your 12-year-old daughter is dead, you're not playing at all. You have a very serious demeanor and look on your face. You are earnest. And so this man worshiped Jesus. No doubt he came before Jesus understanding that he is the Christ, therefore that he is God, Emmanuel, God with us, bowed down, pleaded. The Gospel of Mark and Luke inform us that this certain ruler was none other than Jairus, the leader of the local synagogue. He was hurting real bad. For there's no pain like your little daughter dying. For it has been stated that nobody loves a father like a young daughter. Nobody. Dr. John MacArthur notes and said he not only was a synagogue official, but was the chief official or elder of the synagogue. But nothing can bring you down from whatever position you're in, even if you're the richest man in the world, like trouble and pain. See, some of you have not had pain like this before, but just keep on living. Your day is coming. And this is the kind of pain that makes you bend over. This is the kind of pain that makes you curl up in a fetal position. And your friends can go to your favorite restaurant, Red Lobster, and bring you everything they have in there. They know you love it, but it will sit there until they come back. They'll put it right there in front of you, piping hot. You can smell it, but you won't eat it. Here's how you'll do. You'll do like this. You'll do this number. All right, thank you, girls. When they come back 12 hours later to check on you, the food is still there. Girl, you didn't eat this food? Yes, this is the kind of pain. Oh yes, this is the kind. This is not a physical pain when your child dies or your child is sick to death, unto death. This is a pain of the soul. You can try to drown it out with some alcohol. You can't do it. You can try to look it out, binging on your favorite shows. You can try to cry it out, but it won't go anywhere. Not this kind of pain. No, no. Jairus was not jiving. Okay, everybody else probably might have been partying and drinking some wine and celebrating and everything, taking selfies with Jesus, but Jairus was not playing. He was, therefore, the highest-ranking religious official in Capernaum, responsible for the total administration and operation of the synagogue. He was an important man. But your important position doesn't mean anything when your 12-year-old daughter is dead. And granted, at least one of the gospel says that he came and said she was dying. Matthew skipped that part in our passage and got to the point that she died. That's all. One guy recorded it one way and the other guy recorded it the other way. Depends on their perspective. Matthew cut to the chase and said that Jairus said she died. He supervised the worship services and oversaw the work of the other elders, which included teaching, judging disputes, and other such leadership duties. As the ranking member of the Jewish religious establishment in Capernaum, which would have included scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, Jairus may well have been a Pharisee himself, as is clear from the earlier sections of Matthew and of the other Gospels. The religious establishment in general was already developing strong opposition to Jesus. Jairus was not jiving. He was on point. He was serious. He had great faith in Jesus. He was willing to do whatever he needed to do. He was not concerned about what his fellow leaders might say. He didn't care what the publicans who were there might say or the sinners who were there might say. He probably was recognized by some. Jairus could not have escaped being aware of this opposition. And when he came to Jesus for help, he knew he would face criticism and pressure from his peers. Just like some people who line up with Trump, they're criticized. And then you have some who don't line up with Trump and they're criticized. It's that kind of a thing. Political thing. So, my beloved, despite all that, Jairus comes to Jesus. The text says he worshiped him. And he comes to Jesus similar to the Gentile general, doesn't he? That we preached about a few weeks ago. A man full of faith and confidence in Jesus, that he can get it done. Publicly not caring what others would think or say. The Greek word translated as worship implies that he bowed down at Jesus' feet among the sinners, among the drunkards, among the winebibbers, among the tax collectors, and may have even kissed his feet. The hem of his garment, I'm here to tell you, Jairus was not jiving. He was not, he was serious. Oh yes, and God will get you that way too, in a hurry. Or that he kissed the ground he walked on. What would cause a man of such high standing to humble himself like that, in such a manner? He reveals why in his words to Jesus. My daughter is even now dead. Like any parent, this disconsolate father. I feel like singing that song, that old hymn that the sensational nightingales sing. I wish I could sing, but I can't, so I won't. This disconsolate father loved his baby daughter, loved her dearly, and her death would have broken his heart in pieces, and it did. But he had heard the reports of this man, Jesus, and the extraordinary things that he had done for others. He had heard about the miracles, probably had his boys to go check out these, to verify. People like the Gentile general, like the leper who ran to Jesus when he was coming down from the mount, the Sermon on the Mount. And he probably had evidence. He had facts that fueled his faith, saying, "This is the man. I'm in a bad situation, and this is the only somebody who can help me. So I'm not playing. I don't care where I have to meet him. I don't care how I need to prostrate myself and humble myself in front of whoever. I want my daughter back." And in that moment, Jairus did not care about any religious differences or any questions about the law or the prophets. Isn't it amazing that when bad things happen like that, you don't care who who helps you? And just like I marveled at some black folk and white folk when the floods hit Houston. Thank God for the Cajun Navy, mostly white fellows, big old husky strong fellows with love and concern in their hearts and a six pack of beer. Let's get it done, let's get it done, let's get it done. And I told black folks, when they come by to get you off your roof, even if they got a Confederate flag, get in the boat, because you about to drown. And when you're about to drown, you don't care what kind of flag is on the boat. Thank God for the Cajun Navy. Same thing here. We all know it's true. And by the way, God will put you in a position where you have to get help from people that you never thought you would have to receive help from. And when they show up, they got that smile on their face. Ha, ha, ha. Yes, I know you. You know me. You don't even speak to me, do you? That's all right. I'm here to help you. We're going to get out of this mess that you're in. God will fix you, as we used to say back in the day. God will fix you. Somebody will fix you. And thank God Jesus is here to fix us all. Amen, somebody. He just knew that Jesus was his only chance to get his daughter back. This man had great faith in Jesus. How about you today? Do you believe that Jesus can get you out of the mess you're in? You're in that mess for a reason. You're there, Danae, for a divine appointment. Nothing happens for nothing. All things happen for a reason. And Jesus is the only somebody who can get you out of it, if it's his will to get you out of it. Jairus tells Jesus, "Come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." That's big faith right there. Amen, somebody. That's the Gentile general kind of faith, almost. Despite the doubts and animosity presented just a few moments prior by his peers, the Pharisees, his buddies, Jairus expresses strong confidence in Jesus' might and power and abilities. He does not have a grasp on the how or the why, but he certainly has a grasp on the what. Amen, somebody. In his mind, Jairus is saying, this man, Jesus, has power. If I can just get him to my house, down at our house, to lay hands on my daughter, everything will be all right. Jairus understood what many did not understand, that Jesus was God. And since God is the giver of the spirit and the soul, when a person dies, he can give it back, because he knows where it is. Amen, somebody. It's very simple to God. It's very simple to God. Don't believe in these false prophets and these hucksters and these liars out here all over the world now, talking about they're raising the dead, raising the dead. And you go and investigate it, you can't find anybody who died and anybody who was raised from the dead. See, Jesus can go to the graveyard and just clear out the whole graveyard. Jesus went to Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. Somebody said that he had to call him by name, because if he just said come forth, everybody in the grave would have come forth. That's power, baby. That's power. And that's who you can have access to, by just trusting in him, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered. Daniel White the Fourth, he suffered. He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. That is the gospel. See, not only did he raise Lazarus from the dead, Jesus raised himself from the dead. Now that's power, my dear friend. And so, in closing, we know from previous examples that Jesus always honored such faith. He was, if you will, impressed by it, and often lifted up those who expressed strong faith as examples for others. And Jesus does not hesitate to respond to Jairus, not with words, but with action. The text says, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Straightway, it appears, immediately, Jesus got his grip and went with them. Now, Jairus may not have had the understanding of authority like the great Gentile general did. See, the great Gentile general said, Jesus, that's all right, just stay seated. Just say the word, and you keep on enjoying your party, and everything will be all right. The time for celebration sparked by Matthew's decision to follow Jesus was over in this instance. It was time for Jesus and company, if you will, the disciples, to get back to work, to get back on the sawdust trail. Of course, we know that Jesus could have spoken the word or issued a silent command, and Jairus' daughter would have been raised from the dead. But for some reason, Jesus felt it necessary to immediately skip out of the party to go to this man's house to work this miracle that gave glory to God and cast fame all over the region for Jesus Christ. The gospel writer does not give us the reason why, but it is not far-fetched to assume that Jesus aimed to show that he was not hostile to the religious establishment. even though they were hostile to him. Instead, he was ready to respond in kind to those who came to him in sincerity, like Nick at Night, John 3. Total faith and complete dependence for their needs, like the disconsolate father in this passage, we ought to come to Christ in faith, knowing that he can deliver us and do a whole lot more. He can save our souls from hell. He can change the direction of our lives. And he can work miracle after miracle that will literally blow your mind. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in closing, Thomas More said, "Come ye disconsolate, wherever ye languish, come to the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded hearts, here tell your anguish. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Joy of the desolate, light of the straying, hope of the penitent, faithless and pure. Here speaks the Comforter, tenderly saying, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot cure. Here see the bread of life, see waters flowing, forth from the throne of God, pure from above. Come to the feast of love, come ever knowing, earth has no sorrow, but heaven can remove." Amen, somebody. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word and for the comfort of the Holy Scriptures and your Holy Spirit. For there are many people tonight who are suffering and hurting because they have indeed lost their daughter. We celebrate the daughter who was returned to her family this past week, but it caused much pain for nearly 100 days of her being lost. We pray for all of the fathers and mothers who have lost their daughters and their sons all across this country and around the globe. Jesus, we know that you're the only one who can comfort them and heal them and bring peace to their souls. And we pray that you would tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Save those who are lost while the blood is running warm in their veins and the air in their lungs. Have your Holy Spirit not to give them rest until they come to know you as Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all are guilty. We all have done wrong. We all deserve punishment for our sins. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin, all of our sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin. Our body goes to the grave. You know it. Our soul and spirit that God gave us goes back to him. And if we trust Christ as Savior, we will go immediately to hell, go immediately to heaven. If we don't trust Christ as Savior, we will immediately go to hell. If we trust Christ as Savior in this life, we will go to heaven when we die. And if we reject Christ, we will go to hell when we die. So thirdly, ladies and gentlemen, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. You don't have to do anything else. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, if you can't remember a time like I can tonight, I got saved December the 19th, 1979. I can remember it 40 years ago just as clearly as I am looking at the people in this congregation. There's no way you can meet Jesus and not remember it. That's not possible. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." No, you have not been saved all your life just because your mother was in church and your father was a preacher, or you went to church all of your life, way back, even before you can remember. That does not mean that you're saved. Church membership won't save your soul. Getting baptized won't save your soul. Speaking in tongues won't save your soul. Giving money to the church won't save your soul. Preaching in the church won't save your soul. Singing in the choir won't save your soul. None of that will save you. So you may be religious, but well on your way to hell. And so the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, in Revelation 21, verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. Hell is a very real thing. And you do not want to go there. You can go to heaven, but you must trust Christ as Savior. He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save your soul. Believe on him. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Now, hell in the lake of fire is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life," that is, go to heaven and be with God. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today. And he will. And here's God's promise. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to be saved. You don't have to give any money to the preacher to be saved. All you have to do is believe on Christ. So follow me in prayer if you want to be saved today. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Someone help me to pray the sinner's prayer, and I'm here to help you. Let's do it right now. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lusted and coveted after people and things. I have lied before. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I've stolen things before. So, Lord, therefore, I am condemned, and I am guilty of sin, and I deserve hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please, please have mercy and grace upon my soul, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my evil ways and help me to follow you, Lord Jesus, for the remainder of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com, or whatever email you see on the platform you are watching, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you free of charge. If you have a prayer request, this material will help you to grow in the faith and become a strong Christian. Also, if you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, Jesus loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.